The ousting and exile of elected President Manuel Zelaya in Honduras is certainly one of the most talked about political events for 2009. Some observers wonder, was the coup something that political scientists should have known would happen? Recently, I spoke with Vanderbilt political scientist Mitchell Seligson about his research findings on Honduras.
Well, we've been studying Honduras for a long time. Our surveys go back into the early 90s. That gives us an opportunity to look back at that data, the data meaning public opinion data, interview with the, quote, man on the street, the person on the street. But really, these are national probability samples, national random samples of public opinion towards democracy, and to look over time to see if there was anything in that data that would give us some inkling that the coup that occurred that brought down the democratic elected regime and is still churning as we speak, whether there was anything in the data that might have predicted that event.
So what were some of your key findings?
Well, what we found is that social scientists aren't particularly good at predicting a specific thing. Like economists really didn't predict the current decline. No one got the fall of the wall. It's really difficult to predict specific events, and we don't may have any pretensions to predict that we could have figured out that this coup was going to occur. But we did find that the environment of public opinion in Honduras in 2004, when we look back that far, was not particularly propitious for democracy. This earlier this year, my co-author John Booth and I published a book with Cambridge University Press called The Legitimacy Puzzle in Latin America, legitimacy meaning the right to rule. And we studied a bunch of countries, including Honduras, and that was the one that back in 2004 stood out as the one that we say had the greatest potential for serious problems. We didn't know, we couldn't imagine what those problems would be, whether there would be unrest, whether there would be a coup is what actually happened. We just, weren't in a position to predict that. But the data showed that citizens had some problems with the environment in which they were living. Specifically, we looked at the extent to which people thought that the incumbents, the system of government, really was supported by the population. Really, the citizens thought this was a legitimate system. And what we noticed back then is that there were a lot of doubts about that among the citizens of Honduras compared to their neighbors in Central America, compared to the people in Costa Rica, for example, compared to the people in Panama, for example. We saw that that was a problem. And then when we looked at the most recent data, the 2008, which was the last survey we did before these events in June that brought down the government, we saw that things had gotten much worse. So what we do is we examine the proportion of the citizens who are contented with their system, satisfied with what the government delivers, versus those who are deeply dissatisfied. And we look at the ratio of those two. What you'd like to think is that while every system is going to have disgruntled people in it, that on balance, you're going to have a lot more people who feel that they're getting out of the system what they want and what they need. They're going to feel that the system is delivering to them. And what Honduras, the data from Honduras show is that their percentages, their proportions of satisfied to dissatisfied were unfavorable back in 2004 and were much more unfavorable in 2008. Now, what does that mean in terms of the coup? It in no way predicts a coup or any specific breakdown of democracy, which is what we're talking about. What it suggests is that when times get tough, as they did in Honduras, the environment of stability that any democratic system needs in order to go through tough times wasn't there.
So people just didn't feel that they had a legitimate ruler?
It isn't really the ruler in particular, although that's one component, the evaluation of the incumbent. But if that's all that was at stake, every time presidential popularity drops, and we all know how those things seesaw back and forth, we'd have coups all over the world. Britain would be failing and Germany would be failing, the U.S. would be failing. And that isn't what happens. People have a deeper perception. They are aware, well, the guy we elected isn't doing so well. I'm not happy about that. But generally speaking, I get what I need out of the system. It protects me. For example, Honduras is a good example where crime has become a growing problem. And people are saying, gee, in my country, when I walk out on the street at night to attend a church meeting or a meeting of the scouts or something like that, I'm scared. I'm afraid to walk around in my neighborhood at night. And that means that the system, which provides, among other things, police protection, isn't delivering. So it transcends the issue of incumbents. It goes deeper than that. And that's why establishing and maintaining and building legitimacy is a vital component to building democratic stability. And what we're seeing here in the Honduran case is that we saw signs that we could predict that when things got bad, as they did, they had a constitutional crisis, they had a president who appeared from the point of view of the courts and the legislatures and key components of the military, was violating constitutional norms. The system just couldn't react well. It couldn't deal with the crisis in an institutionalized way. And elites who made this coup knew it, that is, they knew that citizens were discontented with the system. So in that sense, they sort of looked around at the public and realized that if they moved this way, they weren't going to have a massive support for the maintenance of democratic norms, because democratic norms had really fallen. Legitimacy had fallen.
So are you saying that it was the elites that caused the coup in Honduras?
Overthrows of democracy, overthrows of regimes can come from above and from below. We all think back of the French Revolution as the classic case of people rising up and decapitating kings and queens and bringing down regimes. And then we have other cases in which citizens vote in dictators, like in the famous vote that brought Hitler to power. And even though it was only a third of the voters by the rules of the day, Hitler became the leader and extinguished democracy in Germany. There are other times when we have citizens rising up, in the case of the Philippines, for example, when the Marcos regime was overthrown by masses seeing his regime as dictatorial and overthrowing him. There are other times when these coups come from the top down, when there's a branch of the military, some young sergeants getting together, like Batista, for example, in Cuba, and overthrowing the elected regime. That's been a classic pattern in Latin America. So it can go either direction. And
that
what
sounds
we're saying,
like a movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So many movies seem to be based on that type of
scenario.
Yeah, there
scenario. Are a lot of those things. Like a small clandestine group tries to overthrow it. But whether it comes – in the case of an elite coup, which in this case it was the courts, the legislature, and the military, not citizens, who grabbed the president and exiled him to Costa Rica. In this particular case, what we have is that this was done in a context in which elites had a pretty good idea. I mean, they may well have read our studies. Okay. But certainly they knew about public opinion in general. But a pretty good idea that they had a citizenry very discontent with the system of government. It was a, from my point of view, a permissive environment for radical changes, breaking constitutional norms, which in the case of Honduras seemed to have been violated on both sides. That is, the then sitting president as well as the people who exiled him.
So how can your research be helpful then? You're saying you cannot really predict an exact thing happening, but are you saying to look to that for a larger trend?
Right. It's the Latin American Public Opinion Project, which generates this survey data here at Vanderbilt. We're the center of a consortium of 24 nations in the Americas that carried out in 2008 over 40,000 interviews in 24 countries with funding largely from the United States Agency for International Development and the United Nations Development Program and the Inter-American Development Bank and others. What we can do is serve as a sort of canary in the coal mine function. That is, we can't say that a coup is going to happen. And there really is no one in the social sciences who can predict that kind of a specificity. But we can tell policymakers, hey, this place, which used to be pretty calm and pretty stable, is registering really pretty high on our Geiger counter. Okay, there's something going on there. Heads up, guys, there's time to look at this. And so when we talk about conflict avoidance and crisis intervention and comfort and crisis prevention, it's the kind of thing that can go on that one might want to say, what's going on there? What is the core of the problem? We need to research this more deeply, and maybe there's something that can be done in partnership with, in this case in Latin America, with our Latin American governments to try to address the complaints, the beef. Why are people so discontented? What are they griping about? And can anything be done to mitigate that? And I think that's how good policy operates. That is, you want to prevent, not cure. Once you are where you are in Honduras, when the coup has occurred, all kinds of negative consequences emerge, including protests, including people getting hurt, some people getting killed. That's the kind of thing you want to avoid. So survey data that Latin American Public Opinion Project generates here at Vanderbilt is the kind of thing that can spotlight areas of risk. And hopefully, because we're not policymakers, hopefully policymakers in these countries and in Washington will take a look at that and say, we better think about this one carefully.
Will you be going back to Honduras for more research?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's one of our many countries, the 24. We are seriously committed to Honduras. The author of our studies, José Nergueta, himself is a Honduran, very committed to his own country's democracy. And we have every intention in the 2010 round, which is the next one coming up, to include Honduras once again to see how well it fares. If people have seen the risks of what happened and maybe are beginning to rethink some things, whether government is beginning to identify and becoming more responsive to the problems that generated the conditions that produced the coup or not, in which case we would predict probably continuing problems of instability.
Is there a good place to look for the results in Honduras?
Sure.
On the web?
All of that material is available worldwide for free online, both the written material as well as actually being able to go in and look at the data itself and analyze it. We've got sort of two places. One is a sort of a data for dummies, one where if you don't know that much about statistics, you can check out percentages. And for the more schooled in statistics, we have another page, which is for experts. And that's all available here at Vanderbilt. We have a site which is just www.lapopsurveys.org. And that'll take you right here to a page at Vanderbilt. And you can log in and download the reports in English and in Spanish. And you can go online in English and in Spanish. And we actually have a translator page that translates it into as many as 10 different languages and analyze the data. You don't have to register. You don't have to sign in, email, password, nothing. You just go in there and do it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Mitchell Seligson is the founder and director of the Latin American Public Opinion Project. He's also the Centennial Professor of Political Science at Vanderbilt University. For Interview, I'm Avery Dear Owens.